Welcome to the Dames Who Dish podcast.
Gina, we have to hurry up and talk before that fucking dog starts barking again. Every time we record now, the dog goes crazy. Maybe it's because we're out here talking.
Oh, maybe. Does he live outside? Or
I think so.
Maybe. Do you have a new t-shirt?
No.
This is the one.
Oh, I like
this
it.
The one bit. What is it like? What does it say?
I cannot be held responsible for what my face does when you talk.
I wore this to BravoCon.
You did?
Under the blazer.
Oh, that's so funny.
Never took the blazer off because it was freezing.
Yeah, well, it's getting a little chilly here. I've got my sweater on because it's sweater weather. It's chilly. It was like 78 degrees.
I know.
Today.
We're so spoiled and babies. Wimps. I went and put pants on and a t-shirt.
We're California wimps. We don't know what cold is.
We don't. We're such babies.
I know.
I think my son put on some slippers for the first time today. He's like, oh, it's so cold. Nuts.
It's freezing.
I know. The Big Brother finale was last night, so it's over.
Are you
officially
happy it's over?
Over. I started to watch it, not even knowing it was the finale. That's how excited I was about it.
You're kidding me.
I was like, oh, it's the finale. Okay. So this guy, Cody, won. Fine.
Is that who you expected to win?
Yes, he should have won. He made it to top two in his season before. He played really well this time. Yeah, he should have won. He won the most competitions. He was the best player by far out of who was left, so...
Well, yeah. I didn't watch that, but I am, and you're watching Amazing Race.
Yeah.
That's really good.
Mm-hmm. Were really you disappointed good. By who got kicked out?
Disappointed, but not surprised.
No. The father's son got let go last night.
Well, because they forgot their bag of goods, but almost everybody did.
Read the cards. Read the cards. That's like rule 101 in Amazing Race.
Read the notes thoroughly.
Although it didn't say remember to bring your bag. And I do still think that you only had to bring your bag if you were doing the cooking demonstration. And if you were building the hut, you didn't need your food.
You didn't need the machete to build that?
Oh, maybe you did.
Tilapa or whatever it is?
You're right. That poor father son, you just knew the whole time. It's like, oh God, they're never going to be able to catch up.
No, I mean, it was nice that they were together, but they were disappointed. It was a good bonding experience for them.
And our two boys won first place.
I know.
And they shook it up a little bit because they used their U-turn, which
I
was
know.
Really exciting because they didn't have to. But they were like, let's just use it. And everybody else was like, yes, yes.
I was surprised that they won, but they're good.
They're good. Yay, they're all good.
Yeah.
Except the sisters. I think they're going to have a hard time.
They're going to end up fighting. You watch.
Oh, I'm waiting. I'm patiently waiting for somebody to start fighting.
It's not going to go well for the two sisters.
The football players started to kind of get on each other's nerves. When they are behind, you can tell they're very competitive.
Competitive, mm-hmm. Right.
That's
they
so
forgot
fun.
Their bags of goods,
they
too.
They did. Love that show.
I know, me too.
Love Amazing Race. Started Seduced on Stars, which is what you told me to watch because it's the same story, the NXIVM cult story that The Vow covers. But from the perspective, well, is it from, not just from the perspective of India,
well,
but
she's telling her story, but it goes way more in depth than The Vow did.
Yeah,
The Vow was like the surface level kind of baseline information.
Well, The Vow is all about them trying to get India out of the cult. And now India's out and she's telling kind of her story.
But we find out so much more about what the cult was about and what they did. And they've got all these experts, cult experts that talk about this is like casebook.
And The Vow, we don't have anyone who's talking about what happened in the deep, deep, deep parts of this NXIVM cult thing.
Mm-hmm.
They have the people who are high up in it, but they weren't necessarily in the know of all the other stuff, like the sex and all that shit. India was part of that. So that's what makes this more interesting.
Yeah, I said casebook. I meant textbook cult.
There's only about two episodes out now. I'm not sure how many there will be.
I don't know either.
Well, and he just got sentenced to life in prison.
Thank God.
Asshole. He's so creepy.
With no chance for parole, I hope.
Not sure.
But we're seeing a lot of clips that we didn't see in The Vow and stuff where he comes out and talks about like child molestation and justifies it and all kinds of crazy shit.
Yeah. We never saw this. This is nuts.
No.
I think because since he was arrested, they have all this footage now. So they're using it in this. The Vow was done a bit ago, Because he was arrested, what, a year ago or so?
I think in 2018.
Okay, so the vow is not even up to his arrest. Well, he was just arrested. So this is like almost a continuation of the vow.
Yeah, it's really, really good. Ooh, I love me a good cult documentary.
Me too. When you said, "How have you seduces about that," I'm like, I'm in.
Say no more.
Just go a little further.
We also started The Queen's
Gambit.
Gambit. We watched it last night.
Good, huh?
Oh my God.
It's on
really
Netflix.
Good.
It's super intriguing.
Well, it started off and I'm like, what is, I thought this was about chess, but there's so much more to it.
Visually, I think it's beautiful.
Yeah. I mean, it's done really well.
It has a little bit of the feel of Maisel, the prettiness of it. I mean, it's a little bit darker.
I was going to say, it's a little darker
than
that.
It's Maisel.
Not, you know.
And then the other thing I just started was The Undoing on HBO with Nicole Kidman and Hugh Grant. Apparently it was a book of a different name. It's like these Upper East New York rich people who are in this private school and there's a murder that happens.
Is it real time or is it a period piece?
Mm-mm, real time.
Oh, okay.
No, it's real time.
Oh, all right. Well, mm-hmm. I have to
There's only been one episode, so it's brand spanking
new.
Oh,
thank goodness. Mm-hmm. Love me some good shows.
So we have a few things happening in the reality world of housewives. We have a new Beverly Hills housewife, Crystal Minkoff. So she's the first Asian American housewife of Beverly Hills. Mm-hmm. They have the New York housewife, Jules.
Yeah.
Who I think she was Asian American, right? I think so.
I think she was, her mom, I think, was Asian.
And then they have Heather is back on Roni.
I know.
Officially.
I don't know. How do you feel about that? Officially as a friend right?
That's what I'm not sure of. They're acting like she is back. I think she's going to be a friend of.
I'm kind of indifferent about her. I mean, I didn't love her and she did annoy me at sometimes.
They bringing her in for Leah? Like the age? Because she's younger than like the Ramonas and stuff.
She is, but I'm not so sure she'd get along with Leah.
Oh, I think so.
You think so?
Oh, yeah. She's very urban and hip. Remember, she worked for Puff Daddy. Come on, Gina.
Yeah, she reminds us all the time.
All the time.
But I don't know. I mean, she's kind of straight-laced, though, too. Maybe. Don't you remember when they were in Mexico pirate thing?
But that was all because there was more drugs going on, not just that.
Oh, maybe. Yeah,
and there was a lot more like sketchy stuff. And then we have Kathy Hilton has officially been named a friend of Beverly Hills.
Good. Her and Kim and Kyle are probably all going to end up hating each other by the end of the season.
For sure. Somebody said that Kathy is going to be great because she doesn't quite get the social media thing. Apparently she says a lot like on Paris Hilton's Instagram page and stuff. She says like inappropriate things like, Paris, would you give me a call? I need da da da. You know, like stuff like that. Like she doesn't know everybody can see it. Yeah. So she could be fantastic because she's not really cued into what this is. Even though she's had her own shows, not like The Housewives.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm sure she's watched, but she has no idea.
Mm-mm.
So it'll be interesting to see how Kyle reacts having her sister on.
Yeah. Kim was a different story. Kathy is older. Kathy and her have had much more of a turbulent relationship, I think. Yeah.
I think so. So have we figured out what Kyle's done to her face? Some people are saying had her nose done.
Nose done before. I think it's something with her mouth.
She had her whole face pulled.
I think she had it lifted.
The eyes are a little bit higher.
Yep.
The skin's a little bit taut.
Extremely tan right now. And what a great excuse to be wearing the face masks all the time because nobody can tell you what you've had done for the longest time.
Oh, that's true. But honestly, that picture that of her and Kathy where she's wearing that pink suit, I didn't even know who it was.
Unrecognizable. But then I went in and I saw some other pictures and she didn't look that much different. So maybe it's just the angle. Remember like Dorit? Same thing. You look at her pictures and you're like, oh my God, is that her? And then the next picture, she looks the same.
When the face settles.
When the face settles. You know, I always appreciated Kyle for, I know she did a little bit of stuff, but not a lot. And now it's just like, oh, stop it. Stop trying to look like everybody else.
Yeah. Well, it's Beverly Hills. I mean, that's what all these women do during off season. They go get a little nip, a little tuck.
Yeah.
They come back looking fantastic.
When I see the pictures of Sonia.
Oh, well, Sonia had fantastic work.
I don't like it anymore.
You don't?
Mm-mm. I look at it now and it's her eyes are so tiny and it's pulled too much. In the beginning, I was like, wow, like at the reunion and everything. And then Ramona had something done.
Well, Ramona's looked good too.
You know what it is? It's like there's this plastered smile that they have. None of them smile with their teeth, even though they all have the fucking
veneers.
They all smile with just kind of their mouth.
Well, because everything's pulled so tight. It's a perpetual smile. What are you going to do? They paid a lot of money for that, Anne.
All right. I think that's it.
Okay. Should we jump into Potomac?
Yeah. Let's jump on into Potomac. Oh, we got to see a little more of
Jamal.
Monique this time.
Oh, Monique.
Yeah. Because last episode, I don't think Monique was on it at all.
No,
she wasn't.
All
about Candace and her side. So now it felt like, okay, let's hear more of Monique and what she's doing, trying
to make
this better.
Well, we already know that she's got this Not for Lazy Moms live podcast thing, and she had low ticket sales. It looked like there were people there. I mean, I don't know how big the room was. But
I also thought a while ago I saw a picture of Karen and her husband up there on stage, and they didn't make it either.
No. So was it a different live podcast?
It must have been a different thing they were doing.
A lot of podcasters are saying she spent so much ridiculous money. When you have a live podcast, first of all, I guess she paid for all the food and then
drinks.
She bought cocktails. Mm-hmm. And then she had some kind of raffle with gift bags. Like, she put way too much money. No wonder she's not making money.
Yeah, she doesn't know how to spend it correctly. She has all these people telling her what to do, and she's either not doing it or they're really bad at their job.
Yeah. But she's got the money to spend, so.
I guess so.
The only person that showed up was Ashley, right? Mm-hmm. Nobody else?
Nobody else. When she called them, they were honest with her. You know, Wendy was like, yeah, I'm not there yet. Thanks for the invite, but I'm not ready. And then Robin was kind of like, I'll see. I'm not quite sure.
That was awkward.
I know. But her friend, pastor, whoever that guy is, Uncle So-and-so, was like, listen, you can't expect them, because you've accepted what you did and you're trying to move on. You can't expect them to be like, oh, okay, she's accepted. Okay, we're ready to move on. They're not ready. It's still brand new. They don't believe her either.
Well, she told her uncle that she now is finally starting to feel bad about Candace.
And it was 2 weeks afterwards.
Yeah.
The question is she just feeling sad and bad now because of the kickback she's getting?
Yeah, because she's being kind of ostracized from the group. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how you can't feel bad after something like that. God,
I would feel sick to my stomach. And then she says as soon as she was going to apologize, boom, she got the lawsuit slapped on her.
Well, then she went from feeling a little bit of empathy to pissed off.
Yeah, that was, I mean, it just kind of shows her true colors. Like, fuck this. I'm not sorry anymore.
Yeah, sorry.
And then
not
she started
sorry.
Tweeting again. So she can't hold back. My God, why can't she just zip it?
Well, the tweeting is the thing. It's like, okay, have enough sense to at least not do that. Because you have no line of defense when you start tweeting
and
shit.
And once it's out there, you cannot take it back.
No.
You can delete it, but somebody's caught it.
And they did.
Don't you think her husband is so fucking annoyed with her? Like, shut up. Kind of what Chris said to Candace last week. Like, shut up. Stop it.
He has to be.
Has to be.
But he's not saying it on TV.
Mm-mm.
So we see Giselle and Wongo ring shopping, and they opt for some ring stone that's not it's a homegrown diamond of some kind.
It's still like, what, $10,000 or something?
Yeah. Well, I mean, when you have no money, that's a respectable amount.
I think it's too much. They have no money. She owes $90,000. No one pay her taxes before getting her another ring. Well, what happened to the other one? Not that she has to have. I mean, she should have a new ring.
She should have a new ring.
But give her a band. I mean, you have financial issues right now.
Save the 10 grand. They need to buy a new house.
10 grand. Shit.
And then Ray and Karen go to a life coach this time. They booted the DJ.
Karen just wanted, like, can I just have a thank you for everything I did for you when you were going under, when you had all these financial issues and I helped you monetarily I supported you? Can I get a thank you, please?
We didn't know that she took her own family money, mm-hmm. or maybe it's her own money, not necessarily her family money, and she helped bail him out.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's pretty big.
Yeah. I mean,
so he needs to
If Ray's going under, Karen's going under. They've been married for 20 years. It's both of them. But although his was, I think, his business, which probably would be separate. But now
he's old school.
He's old school. Now we're seeing the picture of he's probably embarrassed that she did that and had to do it. And he just wants a wife back. And I don't know.
She's busy.
She's busy making money.
She's got parades to write in.
Oh,
and she's got La Dame perfume to sell. She's busy.
They keep showing like the brochure of La Dame. It's so funny. I think it's in Bloomingdale's though.
Is it? I thought it was. Well, it's on Amazon. Why would it be in Bloomingdale's?
I felt like there was a picture that said it was in Bloomingdale's. But we saw a little Wendy doing her thing.
That was fantastic.
Being all political and unbelievable. I loved it.
I liked what she was doing.
Yeah, it was all about empowering women and, oh my God, fucking dog bowl. Unbelievable.
You can't make this shit up. It's rabid dog.
Yeah, our listeners probably can't hear that part, but they will when we have our interviews later when we have the big microphone on. You can hear all the barking, everything.
Oh my God.
But no, I love seeing Wendy just totally in her element. Karen is so fucking jealous of Wendy. What is it?
Oh, for sure.
It's everything. Wendy is smarter. Wendy is younger.
Her husband is accomplished. Mm. She's accomplished.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot to be jealous of, Wendy. Not going to lie.
I know.
She runs in a cool circle. I don't think Karen does.
Well, Karen was the grand dame, and now it's Wendy.
Mm-hmm.
So Giselle is driving Jamal to the airport. I just don't see them. They don't have a lot of chemistry.
There's not. They've never even kissed on camera. When she says goodbye to him, they hug.
They have so little chemistry between the two of them. It's like a friendship. They hug. He didn't kiss her. I do not trust him.
Nope.
He is shady as shit. I don't understand.
They're nothing. I don't even understand why they would do this for the show. What's the purpose of this fake relationship? They're not in a relationship.
I don't think so either. He wants to be on the show. So was his last indiscretion 10 years ago? Is that what she was saying?
I feel like he's constantly having relationships. I mean,
and he's a pastor of a church.
So it's still.
I think so. I don't know. I don't know if this is a real recoupling or if it's just for the show. It feels a lot like it's just for the show.
Well, and they're having the conversation in the car. And she's like, well, what are we going to do? What's the next step? He's like, I'm waiting for you. I'm waiting on what your next step is.
What do you mean?
Do they communicate it all? And then she said something like, well, yeah, I'm in it. He goes, well, that's all I've been waiting for. Well, what do you talk about?
Yeah, what do you talk about? And how long has this been going? This has been over a year this has been going on.
Yeah, it's just weird. And then, you know, Wendy did kind of go at Karen a little bit about Karen's stance with Monique and Candace. I think it was wrong for Candace to try to pinpoint Karen and say, how can you back Monique because of what she did? I don't like that. Karen could be friends with both of them. She did tell Monique, you were wrong. What you did was wrong. You need to apologize. I don't like what you did. She told her that. She was very upfront with Monique. But she's not going to drop her as a friend. And I actually appreciate that about Karen. I didn't like how these women went in on Karen and said, my God, you can't support her. She can support her as a friend to try to get her through whatever she's going through. Now, when she said she thought Monique had some mental issues, now that I think, all right, Karen, you should have stopped a sentence before.
Well, yeah, but she also told Candace that your mind is powerful and so is your mouth.
And that's true,
too. So she was being honest about that.
And she said, Candace, when you were wrong before, I backed you up. I support all the women. I do believe that with Karen. Now, maybe not Wendy, because she don't like Wendy. I just felt like they were coming down really hard on Karen, like trying to make her choose, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, no,
but Wendy stood up when Karen said that about Monique. Wendy stood up and said, oh, hell no.
I don't know. Why can't you still be friends with both of them and support both what they're going through?
So Giselle and Ashley were on Watch What Happens Live. Did you watch?
Yeah,
Andy asked Ashley, have you and Michael signed a prenup? And Ashley said, or a postnup, I'm sorry. Ashley said, no, they haven't, which, oh, shocker there. Never did I ever believe that he was going to sign a postnup.
No.
And she said no because he's been on his best behavior. So this was all just bullshit for the show.
Yep.
And she acted like, you know, she's holding his feet to the fire. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if he doesn't behave himself, then she's out and all this other crap, which I don't believe.
No.
I don't believe it.
Mm-mm. He hasn't learned. He's still going to do whatever he's going to do. And she'll be fine with it unless he gets caught. And until he gets caught, then she'll have to act again and say, I'm out this time. And
start the cycle
all over again.
I hate to say it, but he has a lot of money. And now she's going to have two kids with him. Mm-hmm.
How does he have so much money? These restaurants? These investments?
Oh, he's like real estate, isn't he? Real estate investment? I don't know.
I mean, she said something about he's a millionaire, but I mean, really? At this point, that's not that much.
A one millionaire?
Yeah, one millionaire. You get 500,000. Oh, what's that going to last you?
Not long.
Batch. Okay, let's go to OC.
This kind of triggered me a little bit.
Mm. In what way?
Shannon triggered me. Mm. I didn't like it.
Because you think Shannon's lying. You think Shannon really did say that Gina's house was small and sad.
I really think she said that.
I do too.
I just do.
I do too. And when she said, that's not even in my vocabulary. It's like, Shannon, I'm not even saying that she said it in a mean way. I'm thinking she said, oh my God, I went over there. It's so small. It's so sad. She could have said it like that.
Yeah.
Now, Bronwyn shouldn't have said anything. I had a little bit of problems with Bronwyn during this episode.
Me too.
She's I know she's going through it. I know she said this episode she won't even watch again because it was so hard for her. This was her lowest of lows. That being said, she was 30 days sober. She went to this party on her own fruition.
Yep.
She didn't have to go. She was triggered a little bit. She walked away. I think her husband is so supportive. I'm blown away by how calm and supportive he is of her.
He's extremely patient.
Mm-hmm. For her to just bring up shit and act like, well, I'm the one who's sober and I'm not lying. For the first time in my life, I'm being truthful. Well, that's interesting also.
Yeah.
So what other lies have you told? I don't know. Her whole vibe right now, and I get it. She's definitely going through it. That's all I can point it to, is that she's having a real hard time right now.
Yeah. And I have total empathy for her for what she's going through, like you said. But are we going to have to endure this whole storyline for the entire freaking season? I mean, is it going to be the Bronwyn show all season long?
Yeah.
Because it's kind of exhausting.
Yeah. Well, you heard that Shannon apparently contacted producers and said, oh my God, Bronwyn's sober. What are we going to do? Like, this isn't going to be fun.
Well, see, and that's why I think Shannon started the shit at her house because it was her party. Why in the world would you start shit
at your
with
own party?
Bronwyn and Gina? Well, she was okay with Gina after a while. Mm-hmm. But why would you start shit like that? Number one, knowing good and well Bronwyn is going through it. Mm-hmm. And number two, you're hosting a party for a kickoff for your new line of real for real, whatever that is.
Those little food things I told you.
Well, it was food, some but food has shit. Something to do with lemons. I don't some, know.
Well, yeah, of course. It's the lemon thing. That's her logo.
There were lemons everywhere. But why would you do that unless you wanted to stir it up for a storyline for this show? You wouldn't want that shit to go down when
well,
you're...
Well, first off, Shannon doesn't have an ally right now. Like, so she's friends with Gina. Her amigos are gone.
Well, right.
So her one amigo, Bronwyn, who was going to be her amigo, has now gone sober. That's not fun for Shannon Bador.
Well, no, but Shannon, I mean, Bronwyn confided in Shannon. And then Shannon turned on her and blew this whole thing up.
Why did Bronwyn say anything?
But
why
was that the time? Don't you just pull her aside? That was not the time.
No, but it's great for TV. It was a perfect time for TV.
Well, that's what I mean. Yeah. She's now trying to produce the show.
I don't think she thought it would go the way it did. I think she thought, I'll pull Bronwyn aside and say, I didn't say that. Why'd you say I said it? And Bronwyn would have said, you know what? Maybe I was wrong. But Bronwyn didn't. She was like, no, you said it. And even Sean heard you say it.
But,
and I was sober and you weren't. And you said it.
I know. But Shannon was like a dog with a bone. Like, she would not let it go. She could have said, you know what? Let's just table it for now. And we'll talk about it later. Let's just have this
because
party.
Because she doesn't want to be labeled a liar. That's something Shannon doesn't like.
But she does lie.
Does she?
Well, she knew she said it to Bronwyn off camera. So there's no proof that she said it.
Of course.
I do believe Bronwyn. I don't think Bronwyn is a liar.
I think Shannon said it like I said. Just like, oh my God, it's so sad. You know, not like, oh my God, it is sad and depressing. And maybe she did. Because after we've had a few cocktails, yes, we can say shit
like
that.
Let her rip.
That would come out very easily. The other thing, what about when Gina just went in on her and was like, why didn't you call me before? And why didn't we talk about this? She's like, you don't work. You have two fucking nannies. You don't have time. She's like, I didn't have time. Listen, she has had a lot going on, but this is going to be an excuse.
Bronwyn didn't help herself when she said she was busy because she had to get a facial. It's like, yeah, you have two nannies, and seeing her at home with her kids, that was so awkward.
And then she's like, let's all go to bed. They all go upstairs and there's the nanny putting all the kids to bed.
Well,
and
yeah.
She goes in her room with Sean. This is so hard. I'm trying to engage with the kids again. It's like, wow.
But she only has three little ones. And the rest are teenagers, so why aren't the teenagers helping?
Well, the ones in college, even. She was just home for the weekend.
Well, right, but this is out of my... out of my realm of understanding. It's like the older kids can help you put the little ones to bed. Do you need two nannies?
It's also interesting when you think about it that they don't even own their house, but they have two nannies.
Well, they probably don't have enough for a down payment. They probably have a lot coming in every month, but they don't have any savings.
I still don't really know what he does. And when she tried to describe what Sean does, she couldn't even describe it.
Whatever.
Nobody knows what he does.
Whatever that is.
I did like Elizabeth Vargas. We're getting a little bit more of her.
She's going to be a wild card.
Yeah, I think she's going to be great because it's like, I have a gag order about my divorce. Can't talk about it. She talks about it in general, but she can't talk specifics.
Yeah.
And then on Watch What Happens Live, I don't know if you noticed, but she was on there with Gina and she had a tequila line called Vargas Tequila.
Oh my God. It was front and center. It was everywhere.
But then go to commercial, they come back. Nothing. No tequila anywhere.
I wonder if they said,
you got to take that. I mean, it was on the mantle. It was in the bookshelves.
I mean, she had like 15 bottles lined up. She had a glass with the logo, the tequila label on it right next
then
to her.
It was
I didn't
gone.
Catch that.
Yeah. And then she has that boyfriend who she hasn't had sex with. Well, she's saying she hasn't had sex with him because she's like, well, I'm not officially divorced yet.
Well, they've had sex now because their divorce is final.
It's going to be an interesting season.
I know, and I'm not really sure how which way it's going to go.
I know.
Like, you know?
Yeah.
To the positive or the negative. If it's going to be every single episode about Bronwyn's sobriety, like I said, I have empathy for her, but it's going to get real old real fast.
Agreed. Let's do a quick Below Deck reunion.
This one was kind of a shit show.
Oh, my God. And there wasn't... If they'd beaten a dead horse, my God. Okay, we get it. No prescription. No log. No bueno. No. It's maritime law. You're fired.
I was kind of over Malia. She was irritating me.
God, she just wouldn't let up and just was so angry.
She was so fired up.
You know, she was angry at Captain Sandy. Then she was angry at, of course, Rob.
She was angry at everybody.
Yeah, and she was angry at Aisha. And Aisha's like, why are you angry at me? I didn't do anything.
But Rob did say he didn't think she was jealous.
Yeah, Rob.
Which was
Rob
weird.
Was funny because it's like he didn't want to say anything bad about Jess. Jess alluded to the fact that, oh, she's got a lot of information that she could tell all of us about everybody. Nobody even cares. Everybody just kind of rolled their eyes like, whatever. But Rob was still really nice about her.
Yeah.
Rob is... admitted he's very emotional. He's a guy that expresses his feelings maybe too soon.
Well, Captain Sandy told Jess she should just stop talking. She apparently doesn't read her contract.
She
wanted somebody to read it for her and point out the fact that
somebody should have told me because I had a pot pen on there and somebody should have told me.
Yeah. And everyone's like, you have a contract. What are you talking about? Alex is sitting there just eating popcorn, watching all this.
He should go down. It was like, oh, God.
Hannah lies through her teeth. She said she never took any Valium on the yacht, which, of course, she did
because she
asked Malia about it. Mm-hmm. And then it shows during the finale that she did provide a prescription 12 hours after she got off the boat. So how could the prescription be on the box and then she didn't provide it?
She did have a prescription from her doctor and she supplied it later. But she's saying, no, I have the prescription.
Well, there
on
was
the box. They showed
controversy
something on the
about
box.
What was on the box, what wasn't on the box. And I guess you can buy Valium in Spain without a prescription. I've got to go to Spain. Crazy.
And then we find out Tom and Malia at that point had been apart for 5 months and they didn't know if they were still together. They were figuring things out. Well, then we know right after that she found out that during those 5 months, he was in another relationship.
Well, but Andy asked him, are you monogamous when you're not together?
He said yes.
Apparently not. So that was it. I was so tired of this whole, maritime law.
You did not need a 2-episode.
No, absolutely not.
Finale. That was nuts. They've never done anything like that before. It's
it
so
was
weird.
Just a repeat of the same crap that we've heard 15 million times before. Yep. Anyway,
on to Below Deck. When does that come? Next week?
Next week.
Okay. Okay, should we move on to Bachelor? We have a special
guest
for Bachelor.
Yes, let's do that.
All right, Bachelorette this last week was fucking crazy. And we have on one of our favorite Bachelor recap podcasts. He does all Bachelor. So if you want to deep dive into these episodes, he's so good. We have Justin on from Justin Takes the Batch podcast. Welcome, Justin.
Hey, Justin.
Blush. Thank you, guys.
Love how you deep dive. especially with Claire season, there's so much going on. This is nuts. It's funny because when I'm watching it, I almost have like this icky feeling like, oh God, ugh, this is like so uncomfortable. And then afterwards, when I'm looking at my notes, I'm like, God, that was kind of amazing. Like, this last episode was probably one of the most iconic episodes we have seen of a Bachelor or a Bachelorette season, right? When you think about all that's happening and that's crazy. Happened.
And a lot happens in a short period of time. And I know, or we know, that your team Claire, we may have a little different opinion than you have.
Minority. Yeah, well, you know, we should be team Claire because she is our hometown girl.
And you're going to like book an appointment with her and be like, hi, I need my hair done.
Oh, she already tried. Like, she already tried.
My husband wanted me to last time. I don't want to be one of those people. And I'm like, I kind of want to be one of those people.
Totally. You're like, I'm going to leave you a really big tip, and I'm also going to leave you my card, and if you want to come on my podcast and talk to me, that's fine, whatever, no big deal, thanks, bye.
You know what's funny is before she was named the Bachelorette, I saw something came up about her. So I did message her, and I'm like, hey, Claire, we're a Sacramento podcast, we talk reality TV, you want to come on and talk about the Bachelorette? And then literally like 2 days later, she was announced as the Bachelorette, and I said, I guess you won't be coming on now.
She was like, oh my God, is this lady the next reality Steve? What the hell?
I know,
happening?
No kidding.
Yeah, I know there's so many opinions about Claire right now, but I am team Claire though. It's just, I don't know. I think it's just because I've watched her in everything that she does. And so I was expecting this. Like I was ready for this level of like shenanigans.
We should have been expecting it.
Yeah, I mean, with every show that she's been on, this is the way she's been. She's no different. But that's also the reason why when they announced her as being the Bachelorette, people are like, oh God, not Claire. Because she is this kind of person. One of the things Claire does, she's very reactive. She gets extremely attached quickly. Mm-hmm. And the editing of Claire and Dale.
I want to know, Justin, what you see that we're not seeing. Because in this episode, and I'm all for Claire living her truth. Yeah. But she was so disrespectful to these guys. I mean, the way she made them wait for so long and just all of the crap that she did. And we get into it a little bit more. But what are you seeing that we're not seeing?
Because I have a really hard time just like trusting what the producers are feeding us. And that is honestly like my biggest takeaway ever. I do feel like this is like genuinely Claire as well. I've had Kat Hurd and Lucy Aragon from Juan Pablo's season on the show. And they're like, that is Claire. Like that is like how Claire reacts like on and off camera. And so I really do feel like we are seeing like 100% Claire. I do think that like, yes, she has had some really disgusting moments. I like, there are so many things that I'm like, ooh, like ick. And I make that sound. But then there are also so many moments where I'm like, fuck yes. Like, Claire is, like, ready to have sex with all this men. I'm like, yes, like, let's do it. Like, she's very vocal, and I love that. And it's also, I don't know, either way, like, it's fulfilling such a craving because we had to watch all of these recaps. And that was after Peter's season. And also Listen to Your Heart. So it just feels like, this just all feels really good. But yeah, and I think just because my first time interacting with Claire was Winter Games, and I fucking hated Claire. I was like, I do not like this lady. I don't know why I keep saying the word lady.
She's a lady. You're in the presence of ladies.
That's true. But I was so team Benoit, but then over quarantine, because I am a relatively new Bachelor viewer, I went back and I watched all the Paradises. Which was so much. And then I also went back and watched Juan Pablo. And so by that point, I was just like, okay, like I knew what to expect from Claire. But yeah, she's had some major missteps. And so like, I don't know. It's so hard.
You know, she is very authentic Claire. Like you said, she has been the same since we've seen her from the beginning. We talked about it last week that she keeps saying like, oh my God, I've evolved as a woman. Now I'm ready. It's like, Claire, you did the same thing to Juan Pablo. This is nothing different. Yeah. You've always been this person. Maybe something happened after Benoit. Remember, they were engaged. They certainly didn't talk about that in the recaps. I don't know why they kept that so hush hush. That was kind of a cool moment. I was excited for them when that happened. Did you listen to Chatty Girls podcast?
No.
Maybe it's Chatty Broads, actually.
I think it's Chatty Broads.
So Chatty Broads, yeah. The girl is Becca, who was on...
I can't remember what season she was on.
Not Nick's.
Ari season.
Yeah. So she has a podcast with one of her girlfriends. I know. Yeah, Ari. Listen, we've watched it from the very beginning. And when Ari was on, I'm like, ooh, he is hot. And then when he came back later, I'm like, he's still hot, but ooh, is he boring?
Yeah, no personality.
But they gave their assessment of Claire and Dale because they were like, we're pretty sure that they did not talk and this is what we think. They went through their whole thing on, they both had time to research each other, to look each other up, to look at their backgrounds, to follow their IGs, and that they didn't really have communication, but you build up this person and she's like, you know what? All these other guys are out partying. Claire doesn't drink. Claire doesn't party. Dale doesn't drink. Dale doesn't party. So she was like instantly connected to him. All these other guys were having this great old time and partying. So she just like knocks these people out. So then there's Dale who's standing out. So she's building up this person that she knows she's going to see. They save him till the end. It's like, oh my God, this is the guy I've been waiting for. And it makes sense. And so the reason why I tell you this is Claire actually commented on their site and said, you girls have it. That's what happened.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I saw that post. I don't know. I just need to know when the producers made this decision, because like we know that they made it ahead of time.
Oh,
but I just
for sure.
Know, like, how long ahead of time?
On Nick Viall, the guy said, no, we didn't know. We saw Claire was having issues and we did call Tayshia in. But there's so many people that have the timeline reality. Steve, one of them that's like, no, Tayshia was there 2 weeks before Claire's.
Yeah.
Wasn't even on there that long.
Well, you talked about it on your podcast too, is that they had to have known about this well in advance because of COVID and because of quarantining and testing and all that kind of stuff. So it's not like this could have happened within just a couple of days. Tayshia had to be made aware of this well in advance.
Absolutely. Also, just like from a financing standpoint, they would have had to have all of this figured out. Like, I don't know how much the Bachelor, Bachelorette gets, but I'm assuming it's a nice little chunk of change, and that would have had to have been approved. I mean, maybe they just gathered up all the airline miles that they weren't using, and they were like, hey, like, Tayshia, here's your paycheck. I don't know, but, like, I'm sorry. I heard Robert. I even heard Nick be, like, affirm him, but I don't even know that I trust Nick. Like, Nick is so into bed with the producers, like, you know, he's not going to risk that. He's literally built a mini empire on the franchise. So.
And we take his word as Bible half the time.
Absolutely.
He knows what's happened. He says he doesn't, but I'm sure he does.
Well, yeah. And like you said, Justin, so much of it's manipulated by production that it's hard to believe like what's true and what isn't. We don't know.
Well, and even people being mad at like how many times like Dale's mentioned by Claire, I'm like, she's mentioned because people, they are asking her, what do you think about Dale? Like, how, you know, ready are you to like cuddle with Dale? Like these are the questions they're asking her. So it's so biased.
They're totally prompting it. Now, I think that Claire is being Claire and she's being kind of a brat and she's saying, I don't want to go on these dates. I don't want to do this anymore. I just want Dale. Yes, I do. But they're also packaging it in that way. She doesn't look good, though. You know, it's one of those things. I do know that Nick did say this before. He goes, you know, very rarely do they make the lead look bad. And they are not making Claire look good.
Yeah.
And you know why? Because there's another lead coming in. And they don't care anymore.
Well, so, and I don't know that they liked Claire before.
They asked
her
to be on,
though. She
was
probably a pain in the ass.
I actually think that they liked her just because she's been on the show so many freaking times.
Well, like, she's good
TV.
Yeah.
So just a few highlights because so much freaking happened. But the main things, the Yosef stuff. I mean, what a ridiculous person. What a ridiculous human being. So many people, though, are coming out like, I agree with Yosef. Whatever he said was very true. God.
I mean, yeah, but he wasn't even part of the dodgeball game. And he's the one who decided to be the spokesperson for the entire group.
No. I mean, the words he used. Like, these are words you never say to a woman. Overreacting, distasteful, crazy.
You never say that word.
Not in a million years would I be caught dead doing that. Okay, we know what you did. Red flags, humiliating, degrading, and immature. I mean, all in one little scene, sentence, however long he spoke. I thought she handled him pretty well.
According to Claire.
Oh, yeah. It probably was. Claire is a person who can handle herself. I'll give her that. She can throw it back pretty good and pretty quick. But what an asshole. And for him to leave that way, and these people leave thinking they're going to get all these Instagram followers, their life is going to change. I looked. He has like 8,000 followers. It didn't change that much. Sorry, Yosef. You're nobody. And that producer on Nick Viall said he's not going to paradise. If they have one, he's not on the list.
Oh, see, now I thought for sure he would have gone to paradise.
Hell no. They don't care about them.
And then I heard that and I was very surprised. Mm-hmm. But wow. I also feel like none of the guys really have big followings. Like, not even Bennett. Like, the only guy who has a big following is Dale. And he had a big following prior to that because he's living like this model New York City lifestyle. And that's like very, you know, clickable, so to speak, or likable. Mm-hmm. But yeah, none of the guys have really big followings. I don't think they'll get to that until Tayshia, because we really just don't know any of them.
So what do you think they're going to do? Do you think they're going to bring in a whole new slew of bachelors for Tayshia? Or you think that the guys that are there are going to stay?
So, should part of my answer be what I know in terms of spoilers, or what do you guys think?
Yeah. Just say it's a spoiler. Okay. Yeah. Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert. If you don't want to hear this, don't listen.
Spoiler alert. Well, I've heard that four men come back to be a part of it.
Just four?
I don't know who. I think one of them is Mike, who went back night one, but I'm not sure about the other three. I think they've been posted about Mike mm-hmm. Tobin. I think they've been posted about by maybe Reality Steve.
This is another spoiler. I thought that because Reality Steve says he knows the final three, and I like click out, but I thought he said something about Brandon. Do you think that Brandon comes back, or is it Brendan?
It's Brendan.
Okay. Okay.
I was like, I know where this is going.
Yeah. I was like, is it my cutie pie Brandon that I think is so freaking, he looks like Neve from Catfished, a better looking Neve, like a glow up of Neve. I don't think he has a personality, but that's okay. It's like, shh, just sit there. Just sit there. Don't say a word.
I did like a little like graphic of like the hottest guys who are going to be in there. And I did put Brandon as one of them. But then, yeah, I was really, I feel like people were so mad when he got sent home, but I was like, okay, no matter what, like he couldn't have a conversation with her. So like that wasn't going to work out. Like everyone needs to calm down. Like Brandon was not the one.
No, he was not a conversationalist
but
at all.
He was gorgeous. Yes.
But he was very good looking. Well, there's like a lot of good looking guys. Model. Now you also have a little crush on Zach who got sent home.
I do. Oh, so many mixed feelings.
That's so,
so what happened with that? What's your take on what happened? Because we saw it, and I rewound it a couple times because I couldn't figure out what happened.
Yeah.
He did not pull away.
He didn't pull away, but he didn't go in.
Yeah, true.
Right. And I think that Tyler Cameron put it best when he tweeted about it. He was like, she went in 90, and then he didn't go in 10. And that's my question is like, first of all, I want Zach on my podcast so I can tell him how I feel. And then second of all, I want to ask him, why the fuck did he just not move? If he had moved forward an inch, they would have kissed because the proximity of their bodies is so close. It's ridiculous. So I want to know why he didn't move forward. I want to know why Claire has bad depth perception. Like, I don't know like what caused her to stop. And I feel like a lot of people are saying it's because it's not Dale, but I genuinely just feel like Claire is like ready to make out with everyone. So I don't even know if that matters. Think that she's like, yes, like let's French. And so I think she was just doing it to kind of be like, oh, like I'm being polite, I'm the lead, like let's make out. Or just like, and it was just going to be a peck. Like I don't think it was going to be like anything crazy, but yeah, why she backed out was so weird. And then the after effects were just
awkward,
so intense, and happened so quickly. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, on one hand, I think there's a lesson to be learned. I think that, you know, I hope that Zach took something away from that in terms of what he shouldn't do. But on the other hand, I am empathetic to what happened. And I do think that that's a shitty situation because it definitely kind of felt like a major miscommunication in a way. But then he didn't really do anything to help the situation because, like Claire said, he had all this nervous energy. And, like, yeah, I felt that. Like, yeah. I really did feel that for him. But, yeah, it was just a icky situation.
And, that was, like, the worst spa experience ever, especially at a resort and spa. They went in for a pedicure in some janky-ass bucket of water. Then they had smashed avocado and cucumber. I've never seen a crappy...
No, it was like she scooped it, like, right out of the avocado and just clumped it on his face.
What the hell kind of spa experience was that? That's probably why Zach was a mess.
One, I love how Claire did not get a face mask.
Oh, God,
no. Or get her hair wet. She did it. She was like, nope, not getting my hair wet. Not getting a face. Don't want to ruin my makeup.
Yeah, I also love how I went, like, super deep, and then that was your takeaway.
I think Zach, he came on a little strong because he didn't want her to think, oh, God, I am interested in you. So yeah. The way he went about it was not right. He's a little stronger than he thinks. It triggered her. Something happened. You saw it.
Absolutely.
You totally saw her change.
You see the fear in her eyes.
Yes.
Like, it's just for a second, but you see it. Like, it changes, yeah.
Something came back to her. And then to see her go to her room and just kind of crawl up in a little ball, that was sad. Did Zach deserve an explanation and not from Chris Harrison? I don't know. I would have liked to see her come out and go, listen, I know you probably didn't mean anything by this, but, you know, I don't feel it going anywhere. Yeah. This triggered me, you doing that. But I would have liked to see that. I would have liked her to tell him exactly, because clearly he had no idea that she even felt that way. She was just kind of brushing off, like, no, I'm fine. In his head, he's like, oh, shit, I should have kissed her. That's it. You think for a second he thought, I shouldn't have grabbed her too tight, or I shouldn't have done that? No.
Well, I think I would have been a little bit uncomfortable. He was a little bit aggressive.
I totally agree with that, but I don't think he thought he did. And when he was sitting at that dinner, I think he was shocked that she wasn't coming to dinner, and he had no idea why. I don't think he even thought it's because of that interaction.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I do wish that, I agree, I wish that there was a conversation post that, just to kind of, I don't want to say give him clarity, but give him clarity, basically, just to, like, have some sort of closure as a viewer as well.
Yeah.
But I also understand, like, if she's triggered, like, you know, that's her emotion, that's her right. And I also just don't think the show cared either way, because at this point they're like, it doesn't really matter because Tayshia's coming on, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
I do wonder if, like, this kind of takes him out of the running for being on Paradise, because damn, that would have been an amazing B-roll for a workout montage.
Maybe it will give him more clarity for Paradise.
Yeah,
because people remember this. Because don't you feel like he's watching it going, shit, I didn't know all that went down. I didn't know I made her feel that way. Maybe not. Maybe he's a douchebag. Who knows? Like, we don't know.
He did tweet something, and I do believe it. He did delete it.
Ooh.
But he was kind of... He was kind of being like, I didn't pull her.
Oh,
like,
oh no, wrong.
It wasn't like he was completely defending, but he was still kind of defending. And that's, I think, why he deleted it. So,
yeah.
You can't defend yourself. You have to own it and apologize. That's what he needed to do. And the other thing that I want to talk about is Dale. When he took Claire off, you know, he told the guys, I'm just going to talk to her for 5 minutes. And they were gone for 40 minutes to an hour.
Yeah.
And then he went and found her again in that awkward scene, like, oh, I thought I was in the bathroom. And then he comes back out again. And he's got this, like, Cheshire grin. And the guys are like, what the fuck? They're pissed at him. And the way he handled it was so wrong. Dale, all you had to say was, you guys, I am really feeling Claire. I think she's feeling me. I am so sorry. I apologize. But I was so in the moment.
Nope. He's like, oh, I don't know him.
Yeah, oh, my stupid. God.
For a guy who's like I think he's a public speaker, isn't he? Doesn't he do stuff like that? No,
I guess. I don't know.
I think he does.
He just seems like an influencer at this point to me.
Right.
Like I agree. It was so messy. And I mean, from his vantage point, I guarantee you he has his own producer. Like, he's not sharing a producer with anyone. They know he's a major player. And I'm also sure that the guys probably pick up on that too. Like, why does Dale have his own producer? Like, why am I sharing a producer with, you know, that
five other guys,
Tyler C guy that got deleted. deleted. What am I saying? Got eliminated. So like, I mean, yeah, I think that like those producers are just like manipulating the shit out of Dale. Like,
oh yeah.
So, but yeah, his answers for all of that were just so bad, and I was just like, ooh, you're like really, you're not looking like a villain completely, but you're looking like an idiot. So
what are your thoughts? So we know next week is the breakdown of everything. I think this whole episode is going to be Claire again. At the very end, Tayshia's going to have her foot out of that limo. They're not letting her come in mid scene. So we're going to have the fallout of all of it. Chris Harrison saying, you've blown up the Bachelorette.
Yeah.
Will Dale and Claire leave together? And are they still together?
I don't know. Their photos just got leaked or put out there. I don't know. It's hard to tell at this point because sometimes I think that ABC is the one leaking them.
Yeah.
But that's a different conversation. But I do think we know that they're going to have a one-on-one date, and Brie and Chris from Listen to Your Heart are going to like sing to them. Photos for that came out. And so they have a date. And so we know that that happens. We know that like there's that, you know, awkward conversation with Claire and like the most modest sweater she's ever worn, being like, let me tell you guys that I'm leaving, I guess. I don't know. That's what I'm most excited about, this transition, because we really just don't know anything about it.
How it's going to go down.
So many question marks.
It's funny. People online are like, what a shit show. This is the worst one ever. And I get it, because it is pretty much a shit show. It's kind of crazy. And like I said, when I'm watching it, I'm kind of like, this doesn't feel good. And then afterwards, it's like, was that just amazing what just happened?
I know. I love how people like really, really, really critique this show in terms of that, or even just in terms of the strip dodgeball. I'm like, you do realize this is like reality TV, and like, although they're presenting it in a way that's like greater than now, like it's still dating reality TV. And so there's nothing about this show that is like helpful to like the sanctity of marriage or anything like that. Like everyone just needs to calm down. Like this show's done nothing for that.
I mean, and it's funny. It's like, why all of a sudden would they? Why all of a sudden does the Bachelor and the Bachelorette have this, they need to be a certain way? Look at Love Island. I don't know if you watch Love Island. They are literally in their swimsuits 24/7. The guys are in their little swimsuits and the girls are in bikinis.
Well, the Bachelorette has been known for, they've had mud wrestling, they've had basically wet t-shirt contests. I mean they've had all kinds of stuff where the women are, you
scantily
know,
clad,
next to naked. So why is this any different with the guys?
I feel like if the guys want to strip down, I'm gonna watch that and enjoy it. I don't know. I take notes during the episodes, and like for that part, there's no notes.
They weren't naked.
It's so silly.
I actually think that they were naked.
Really?
Like Brendan was wearing a jock strap. Mm-hmm. He did not take his off. But I think everyone else was naked.
Well, there were a couple of guys that I think took their jock straps off in front of Claire when they were standing at the front after they won.
Mm-hmm.
Then they threw them off. They probably were.
Yeah, but for sure. Yeah, like I think, I know Garen, I feel like Garen was, I can't even remember who else. It's such a blur.
Well, we know the ones that actually probably stripped naked. There were some that were feeling pretty confident, and I'm sure, and then those that weren't probably kept that thing on.
it's pretty ballsy, but all I can say is that I just want everyone's contracts to be up so we can all interview them.
There
and
you go.
Know all the things.
This shows that you can do paradise. It's just where. If they go back to Mexico, weather's still good. In Mexico, it's so easy. You just quarantine them at the place.
They don't leave paradise anyway. They stay there at the beach.
Little,
and
Jorge does his little excursions, and that's it.
Yeah.
I'm really excited for paradise. Not to, like, completely abandon Claire right now, but, like, I'm really excited for paradise because when you think about it, it's going to be Peter's girls, Claire, Tayshia's guys, Matt's girls, whoever the next Bachelorette, her people, and then also I'm really hoping we have Listen to Your Heart people. Because I think that would be so good.
Yeah, just a few of the Listen to Your Heart people.
Matt and Ruby.
Matt.
That's a Jamie left. Too. They'll give us Jamie, but like
they definitely need to get more creative at the La Quinta Resort, because what they've done so far is not I'm not loving it. The dodgeball thing was okay. The roast,
I don't know. I think I saw a Ferris wheel at one point. I'm not sure.
Yeah, there was a Ferris wheel.
My thing about the roast is that I actually would have loved to have seen the roast.
The whole thing.
The after clip or whatever with Claire roasting some of the guys. Like, I would have loved that. And I would have, I mean, sorry to Deanna who like visited Claire, but like that was such a waste of like her quarantining for 2 weeks. Would have been fine to like have a 15-minute like actual comedy roast and then all the guys go into Dale, you know?
And why did they bring in Deanna? It was a total time filler because I don't think they're really friends in real life. I don't think Claire has any friends to bring back.
Well, apparently Deanna was supposed to be part of the date they were going to do, and then they scratched the date.
What was she going to be part of the date?
Don't know.
What?
That's what that producer guy said on Nick Viall's. Like, they brought her in for a certain thing, and then they started talking, and then they were like, well, let's skip the date altogether.
Well, she was on the show like 14 years ago.
Well,
yeah, but so was Claire.
The part is that she's actually a year younger than Claire.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's kind of funny because like, wait, you were in the show how long ago? And you're the same age? What? Like, it's just, it's kind of bizarre because, I don't know, it almost feels like there's no direction with that. It's like, what's going on?
Okay, final. Have you listened to the Clickbait podcast at all with, oh my God,
no,
I gave it a shot. It's with Tayshia, Hannah, and Grocery Store Joe.
Yeah.
Oh my God. First off, the only reason I'm listening to it is because I want to hear Tayshia talk about whatever's going on. No, she's acting like nothing ever happened. And then apparently today, I think you posted the video of her just kind of saying like, so I did a thing or something like that. And, you know, it was like, yeah.
Well, it was basically Tayshia. Oh, no, I'm sorry. It was basically Hannah Ann and Joe. The clip is Hannah Ann and Joe being like, wow, like you looked amazing being in the pool. And she was like, yeah, like, you know, I was just like, at the resort and I was like hot and so like I went for a dip and that's kind of what it is. And Hannah Ann's like, how many takes was that? And she was like, oh, you know, I don't know, it's just like a casual swim. And you know, she didn't actually address anything, she doesn't say anything. But yeah, I haven't actually listened to the podcast yet because I don't really understand it. It's like giving three Bachelor alums a chance to like have a podcast, but then it's like it feels weird. Like, why is, I don't know. I'm just confused by it. Seeing them have like it, like at one point, like five people on there, which feels like a lot of people to have on a podcast via Zoom.
You guys, check out Justin's podcast. He deep dives. He has lots of great guests on. He has a lot of old Bachelor alum on. You have more to come, right?
Yeah, I hope so. I you know, honestly, everyone might be scared away because of Luke Parker fucking everything up. But, you know, hopefully at some point soon when things kind of calm down with Claire, I definitely will have more interviews. We're also doing weekly giveaways because I'm thirsty like that.
So. Give away some good stuff.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for the plug.
Check it out. What's your Instagram handle?
It's at Justin Takes the Batch.
There we go. Easy enough. We'll put it in our show notes.
We love your podcast. Yep. Thank you so
Thanks
much.
Thanks for coming on, Justin.
Thank you, guys. I love y'all's podcast. This is a blast.
Yay. Right, let's move into some Maths NOLA.
Let's. This was the finale. Well, it was a two-parter.
Yeah,
so it was
decision
the final,
day and then
the finale.
Then finale.
Grand
Or I guess,
finale.
Not finale. The grand finale or the
well, they called
reunion.
It the grand. Didn't they call it the grand
they
finale?
They did. And they did it both nights in a row and I almost missed it. I mean, it records automatically, but I almost missed that it was going to be the next night. I thought, oh, we have one more week until they're going to all get together.
Well, I'm glad you told me because I was expecting it to be next week too.
Well, a listener let us know.
Because I said next week. Thank God for them.
I know. Okay, let's got to go back. Final decision day. Not shocked about any of them. Maybe Karen and Miles a tiny bit, but I just had a feeling they were going to keep going on and try it.
Did you?
Off camera. Yeah, I know you had your doubts.
Karen was rough.
Karen was rough this episode. Well, let's go through the people first. Ben and Amelia. Nothing shocking except that he got a tattoo on his bum with her initials on it.
Yeah, and like, what the fuck with those yellow floral pants with the ruffles on the bottom?
He's just being himself, Gina. He's a free spirit.
I know, but now it's like, is he trying too hard?
And he wore that. No, I think that's just him. And he wore that hat that he wanted to wear at the wedding. And his friends were like, no, you can't wear that. And so he wore it this day.
Well, he said this was his first serious, safe relationship. And they were moving, or Amelia was moving to Virginia the very next day. Mm-hmm. But we knew they were going to stay together.
And they both went. He was very happy to go with her. They were the couple that I actually, our boots on the ground, told us that they saw this couple from Married at First Sight, but they don't watch the show. And so I said, who are they? And they go, I don't know the names. And I said, are they artsy? And they go, yes. I said, it's Bennett and Amelia.
That was easy.
It was very easy.
Are they artsy?
I like the way they did it this year, where they went through the montage. I'm kind of tired of seeing them go through the weddings again. The beginning of every episode, they start at the beginning. Like, let's see them get married again. It's like, I fast forward for about 5 minutes before we get into the episode. But the way they did this one was they each took a turn to say something about each other. And of course, it started out nice, and Bennett and Amelia was nice the entire way. And some of the others kind of turned at the end. But I like how they do that with the voiceovers of each participant talking about their match.
Yeah, I did like that, but mm-hmm. I did not need to see the recap of everything that happened throughout the whole entire season.
No.
Sorry. Didn't need to see it.
Always at the end of these, they try to string it along too much. Yeah, like, just get to the end.
2 hours could have been an hour.
So those two are still in Virginia. And then I can fast forward to when they all got together and they were talking to Kevin.
I love Kevin Frazier.
He's such a good host. And they sang him a song and they wrote a song for him. And I literally died. I was laughing so hard. I'm thinking, was that made up on the fly? I think it could have been.
I don't know, but it bugged me. It bugged me.
You thought it was too quirky.
It was like too forced quirky. It was like, come on, you guys. We get it. You're quirky. You're fun. You're a zany couple. We get it. It was like, and even Kevin was kind of like,
I couldn't tell what he was thinking. And they were talking about, give us some movie recommendations. Does Kevin Frazier do movie recommendations on E! Or something? What are we missing?
Because I didn't understand that either. Like, why would you ask Kevin Frazier for a movie recommendation?
It must be something he does on another channel.
Maybe.
Well, then I thought he was a sport guy. And Dan came in and said, who's that? I go, it's Kevin Frazier. Isn't he a sport guy? He goes, no. I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah, I didn't get the whole song thing. It was a little much.
Then they went to Brett and Olivia. And
Olivia hates
Brett. She came in so angry. It made her even more upset when he was so fine and comfortable and stood up to greet her and was like, oh, hey, honey, you look so pretty. That just ticked her off even more.
Yeah, she's like, cut the honey bullshit.
Now, what are your thoughts on this? You know, we don't like Brett. That's a universal thought. He was a jerk. In the very beginning at these bachelor parties, he was way out of line. He drank too much. He was just an asshole. We thought that about him the whole way through. And then I feel like people started to turn on Olivia because something happened with her. A switch turned off and she was not having Brett anymore. She wasn't interested in him at all. She didn't find him attractive.
Yeah. And she kind of said social media came after her, mm-hmm. which I don't know why they go after her instead of Brett.
Well, they did both. I've seen it where they're saying, well, geez, you know, Olivia's just horrible. She doesn't give him anything.
Well, she has a very flat personality.
It seems that way. Although when her and Amani talk, she seems very light. But
is she fun? No.
Well, we can't figure that out.
No, she goes out a lot.
Yeah, she's a serious girl.
I think Olivia needs an older, more mature man. Mm-hmm. A wealthy, well-traveled, older, mature man.
Now, did you think that the experts were getting on Olivia a little bit, because they did press her and say, well, what about it was the problem? Why don't you find what he says sincere or genuine?
I think so at first, until the group came together and then Henry said, listen, I saw how this guy behaved at the bachelor party and it was not cool. And then they showed the clip.
Well, coming into the reunion, she saw it, obviously. She had watched the show. But coming in for decision day, she hasn't seen the show or anything. She just thought anytime he reached out to her to say, how are you doing? I thought it seemed like a nice gesture. She just thought it was all fake. And she kept saying it's for the cameras. And then he would say, well, half that stuff was not when the cameras were on. So I don't necessarily like him. I don't think they were a good match. But I think she was really hard on him also.
She was, but I keep thinking something else had to happen that we're not seeing, or the way he behaved had to be completely different off camera. We're not seeing it. She knows more than we do.
But she wouldn't give specifics. They even pressed her. Like, what specifically are you talking about? And I think one of the, maybe it was Dr. Viviana or Pastor Cal said, he's not saying what you want him to say. And that's fine. It's just you guys have a different, you know, way of communicating. But we could have figured something out earlier. Why didn't the experts step in and help them out earlier? That's my question. If they needed help, they didn't want help. They didn't care. It was over. They were both done with
each other.
Neither
one of them. Mm-mm. They weren't a good match from the beginning. They weren't going to work out regardless. And
now, what do you think of him not even showing up afterwards to, you know, the get together of all of them? He said because of COVID, he was staying in his house. I don't have a problem with that, but he could have been on screen and he wasn't.
Yeah, but I feel like, why would he?
He was done.
I mean,
done.
He was going to get bashed. Olivia thinks he's an ass. She made that very clear from the beginning.
Yeah, but Christina freaking showed up.
Christina, I am shocked,
I'm shocked that she put
herself out there like that.
I was proud of her for doing that.
I just don't think she's 100% self-aware.
Oh, you think she showed up almost by accident?
No, I mean, I just think that she has a way of justifying her behavior in her head, and she doesn't see the severity of what she's doing because she's been a liar for so long.
She doesn't know how not to lie. Let's talk about Henry and Christina. Super awkward as usual. They come in. I have to say that all these ladies looked amazing.
Yeah.
They really did themselves up. So as they're coming in, you know, Henry's his usual quiet self, not saying much, kind of, you know, letting her take the lead. But as she takes the lead, she pretends like, oh, everything's fine. We just aren't a good match. But, you know, he's such a good guy. And I think we had some really good times. She's delusional in that way.
That's what I mean. She's just not self-aware. But you knew it was coming because Henry was twitching up a storm.
Well, he was ready. He was ready to tell the truth. But okay, so let's talk about that. At the decision day, he didn't even go into everything that he went into
at the reunion.
And you know why
he saved it?
You know why I think? Because him and Woody have become such good friends. And he told Woody, and Woody's like, you got to bring that shit out at the reunion.
Oh, that could be. That could be.
Because they don't want Henry looking like just kind of an asshole. But I don't think he ever really did. A lot of people are hard on Henry. They're saying, you know, he didn't say much. He was very quiet. He didn't give her anything. Mm. Well, now we know why. Because at the wedding, she was telling some of his friends, the lady friends, that she was in a 5-year relationship with a married guy. And it was a toxic relationship. And they did horrible things to each other.
Are you shocked by this? Because I'm not.
No. And it makes perfect sense that when she starts to be a little crazy and weird, in his eyes in particular, bing, those are those red flags that say, oh, this is what she was talking about. This is the behavior that she's talking about that happened in that other relationship, and I don't want any part of it.
Yeah, and I think once Henry had that information and then he got a little bit of a glimpse of her personality, he was done.
Or lack
thereof.
He was
done early on. And then the lies started coming, which I am so glad he finally threw it all out there at the reunion. She didn't have, I mean, she basically, well, first she tried to deny it a little bit. On decision day, she tried to deny it and said, well, you know, I never believed it was true. Well, Henry didn't say anything until the reunion. Then he said, you tried to blackmail me with this information. Mm-hmm. He didn't say it on decision day. He saved it.
Now, didn't he say something to that effect, though? He did say something close. He said something like, you tried to hold it over my head. Maybe he didn't say the word blackmail, but he said it a few times at the reunion.
He did, but he didn't go into detail with what that means. And then finally at the reunion, he's like, you basically tried to blackmail me.
Yeah,
you told me.
You said, this is what I have.
Yeah. If you don't go along with it, I'm going to put it out there.
But then she kept saying, but Henry, I don't believe you're gay. And he's just like, oh my God. He was way more confident at the reunion.
And
because
very well spoken.
And he had his friends with him.
Yeah.
They're all good friends now.
But all the couples were just like, oh my God.
Now, what do you think they thought of Christina? Because I feel like those girls really liked Christina, you know, through the whole thing. And then now she's been gone. They've had Henry around. She's been gone traveling. She's like, I was getting a lot of hate, which, you know, I feel bad about that. But God, I mean, people, when you go on a reality show and you put yourself out there, people dig. People are mean, us included. Well, you know what? We're just commenting on what we see and what's presented to us.
Yeah, but Christina was not very smart about it.
I think she thought she could get away with something.
And I think Imani knew all along, but she kept it to herself because I'm sure Henry told Woody and Woody told Imani. And Imani, I think, had her number early on just by some crazy shit she was
saying.
I think
they all knew the stories.
Yeah.
I think Henry was very vocal with the rest of them.
Right.
And that was another little tidbit that Woody told us, that him and Henry go out, they have drinks, and he is not a quiet guy at all.
Yeah.
And then Christina's standing there. She goes, I know. I'm like,
Christina has issues.
What are you saying? That's all you complained about, is he doesn't talk. You guys have no communication. And then you act like, see, I know, he's really fun.
Christina has a real need to be liked, wanted, yeah, and, you know, adored.
Yeah. I mean, I do too. Not going to lie. I like to be liked, but I also don't like make up these huge stories to have people like me.
Not to the extent. I mean,
not to that extent, at least.
Yeah.
All right. So let's go to Miles and Karen.
Yeah. Now, this took an interesting twist. Mm-hmm. I did not think on decision day that they were going to end up together. I really thought Miles was going to go, you know what? I just can't do it.
He said at the reunion that walking into that decision day, he was not going to stay together.
Yeah.
And then he sat there and thought about it. Well, he probably saw her because she looked drop dead gorgeous.
She looked beautiful.
Oh my God, with that red dress and her hair. Oh, she just looked beautiful. Yeah. I mean, the transformation from the decision day to the reunion, unbelievable to me. They are a true couple now. He had his hand on her leg, no problem. The confidence he had at the reunion with her by his side was so much different. I just feel like she broke him down. And she kind of admitted, I needed to break him down to see what he was made of and to see the real him. And it was kind of a weird thing, but I guess it worked for them, so it was okay.
Well, she said that they bonded over the last 3 to 4 weeks. That, yeah, you know, for the longest time, there was no emotional connection at all. And maybe it took that. I mean,
well, she always thought that he was putting on some sort of a fake persona. And so seeing him through quarantine and seeing him finally get a little upset at her and call her out on shit and say, this is what I need and you're not giving it to me and I deserve this. That's apparently what she needed. That's what she meant by be a man, stick up for yourself. That was what she needed, she said. She needed him to show his true self. Kind of a weird way to need something or go about it, but
seriously, it worked. Was an uphill battle.
It worked, and but they
have they
so
had
cute.
Sex?
Yes,
do you think?
Yes,
because it kind of sounded like they confirmed it.
Yeah,
but
they didn't full out confirm it, but Kevin said, "Have you consummated your or when you consummated your marriage or something?" And they were like, "Yeah, you know, I mean, he had it all over his face. That's why he's so fucking happy."
Well, because he's really want to know.
I know he's not slumped over; he's really happy.
That's true. He is a little spark.
Yes, he has. And then Woody and Imani.
Well, I mean, they're just. I mean,
I
this was a match made in heaven.
These two have so much chemistry. So good together. I also think that the fact that Karen and Miles live right down the street and they spend a lot of time together, it's good for Karen and Miles.
Yeah, it's really good.
They can see what a great connection they have and they can build on it. And, you know, it's much better when you're with people who are going through the same thing as you.
Yeah, in a like situation.
Yeah, and they're all really good friends. They were just so fucking cute. I can't get enough of them. Now on his social media, I didn't find hers. She's, I think, kind of private, but he's totally out there on his social media. And so is Miles and Karen. But, oh, he's posting all these pictures of the two of them. And they're just
so cute.
Adorable.
And I love that he went and bought his own ring with his own money that the show didn't provide. And he was so emotional about it. What a transformation. Because I would have thought, the way he was portrayed at the beginning of the season, I was like, oh no, this is a party boy.
Oh,
there's
no
way.
His friends kept saying that. They're like, oh God, not you, Woody.
Well, guess what?
He's fantastic.
Yeah.
What
great
a great season.
It was one of the best.
Well, I agree.
One of the best.
There was a few mistakes on the coupling up. The whole thing was wild and crazy because of COVID, and it was twice as long as it should have been.
Which I think is a good thing.
I do too.
They need to make it longer.
Why not make it longer?
Yeah.
Except for the fact that filming and they want to get going on it. I mean, they've already moved on to Atlanta. They're doing a new
January.
One in Atlanta.
Yeah, I can't wait for that. January.
Atlanta has a lot of hot singles, except we also know those guys in Atlanta like their
they
strip
like
clubs.
They like a strip club.
Beware, ladies of Atlanta, that you're getting
well, maybe
fixed
the
up
ladies like
guys.
Them too. I don't know.
Yeah, kind of sad that's over. One of my favorites.
I know.
Obviously.
Not long enough.
We had a little Southern charm
last
night.
What did you think? Because this was like the introductory episode when they kind of recap everything. They reintroduce you to everybody and kind of.
Well, they do,
little...
but they've lost so many people. So it was like, wait, who's that? Are they a... now Madison's a full cast member? Even though I knew all this, it seems like it happened so long ago, which it did. The filming was so long ago.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you, because it has been about a year, hasn't it?
I think
it?
So, because they started filming, then they stopped. Then they sort of came back. So in the beginning of the intro, they showed the COVID stuff, but then they said 6 months earlier or even 9 months earlier or whatever it was.
That's right. I forgot they stopped filming. Yeah. So they're full-blown pandemic.
Yeah, but not right now.
No. But I mean, their filming was during the full-blown pandemic. I think we're going to see it as the show progresses. Mm-hmm.
We didn't really get a good glimpse of our new girl.
No, she kind of came in at the end.
Yeah, that was it. So... I'm not really sure about her yet. Is she the one that owns the store that...
Gwen's?
Yeah. I think...
No.
Are you sure?
I don't think so. This was Cam's friend.
Oh, so it's Cam's friend is the one that's going to be the full-time cast member. The one that Craig met with.
Right.
Okay. So we've lost so many of the women. The new women now are Catherine, who I'm not a huge Catherine lover. So for me, it's like, ugh. Then we have Madison, not a huge Madison fan. Patricia, I always love. It seems like Patricia's going to be a full-time cast member.
And Patricia has a new face.
She has a new face. And same old Michael, new face, new dog.
Yep.
Who's the other? And then is Shep's girlfriend, Taylor, going to be a full-time cast member?
I guess so.
Are they still together, you think?
Oh, I don't know.
That'll be...
And Danny, who was like a fringe.
Danny's... So the weird part for me is Danny and Madison are now friends again, where last season, Madison... spread the rumor that Danny got chlamydia from Shep.
Yeah, that's weird.
How these people can do this, I don't know. But the shocking part of the beginning really was seeing Catherine and her kids and then Thomas walking down the fucking stairs.
I was so pissed off when I saw those white pants coming in the room.
I thought that he was fired from the show last year.
Yeah, he was wasn't he charged with a felony assault? And then he settled out of court. So just because you settle doesn't mean you're innocent.
It was so weird. I don't care if they're not together. He's just a disgusting person.
He's a disgusting person. And I could not believe that Bravo allowed him on the show.
I think that was the shock factor they were after. It was opening scene and he fucking walks down those stairs.
And are we going to have to see Catherine in those faux leather Spanx leggings for the entire season, just like last season?
Probably. Well, she is really feeling herself. Does she think she is the head woman there now?
Oh, I'm
for
sure.
For her to sit and tell Craig, oh, I heard that Cam's husband, what's his name? Jason. Was having an affair. We heard this. We heard that that's why Cam left the show. Well, clearly she left before this, because unless they were filming and she just left.
Yeah, but did we know Catherine was the one spreading the rumor?
No.
I think Cam said something on social media, like kind of leaving some breadcrumbs, hinting maybe, but didn't come out and say it was Catherine.
I liked how Craig handled that, because Craig and Cam are good friends. He's like, no. What are you talking about? It's not possible. Jason's a stand-up guy. She's like, that's the rumor I heard. Then Craig tells Cam's best friend.
Yeah.
She's like, no. Was it confirmed? All of them were like, no, absolutely not. Do we have proof?
Yeah. There's no proof.
But then at the very end, Cam admits it. She goes, Catherine admits it. She goes, Cam had no problem burning my house down.
Yeah, she's vindictive.
Yes. And we did see a little montage of Cam being mean to Catherine. But listen, I'm sorry, Catherine. You were a piece of shit person. You did a lot of shitty things. You got forgiven for some of them, because mainly the stuff against Thomas, because everybody thought Thomas was kind of a stand-up guy. You know, we didn't know what a shitty, horrible person he was. Catherine's not innocent.
No, she's going to be the shit stirrer this season. Mm-hmm. I was mad about the stupid Dumb and Dumber party. Like, couldn't they come up with something better than...
I honestly don't understand it.
I don't either.
What was the purpose of it?
There was no... it was just a party to have a party?
The other weird thing to me is Shep's friend, his really supposedly super hot friend.
Oh, the one that comes in late?
Yeah.
He's got a son?
Oh, John Pringle.
Oh, okay.
I kept saying John Pringle.
He's going to be on the show, too.
He's a main cast member now.
Yeah.
He comes in. He's a fucking mess. And I wasn't sure if it was because of the Dumb and Dumber look, the costume, or if he always looks that way, but he looked like kind of haggard. And the girls were like, oh, my God, who's that?
Like, well, I think Madison was like her. Well, Patricia was going
was pushing Madison towards John Pringle. He's a good looking guy. Mm. He's also going through a messy divorce. His kids are in San Diego. He came back here.
I feel like Madison has her radar out at all times for any new meet.
Well, can you really blame her? Austin, what does he have going on? What's going on with
him? Did his beer get off the ground?
They're not talking about it yet.
I don't think so.
He's sleeping until all hours of the afternoon.
Ooh, is he turning into Craig?
Oh, God. Craig even sounds more successful than him, except Craig's staying with him because his house flooded.
Craig's got pillow parties happening.
What did he say? I made 1,000 pillows last month or something. Yeah. You know, he's so funny.
It's still the crab on the pillow. Like, can you come up with another design?
People are buying that. I think they have a few more designs now.
And then Peter and Liz, that was a weird thing. Peter and Liz are Shep's friends. Ooh. That they walked in and apparently Madison had a one night stand with Peter and Liz got all pissed off about it. And I'm like, come on.
Well, it was before anybody dating.
Yeah. So seriously, you're going to sit there and yell at the guy?
And from what I understand, Charleston is pretty small. Everybody knows each other.
Yeah.
So of course you're going to run into, they know that Madison's friends and Madison and Austin are going out and they're friends with Shep. Of course she was going to be there.
Madison gets around, I have a feeling. She's a little hot.
She is a hot commodity.
Hot commodity.
It's kind of interesting they're showing her son.
Yeah. Mm. I don't think they showed. No, they didn't show him last season.
No, and they're showing Catherine's kids too.
But the way she talks bugs me. She talks out of the side of her mouth.
Mm.
Like one side doesn't move. Maybe it's too much Botox on one side.
She actually is gorgeous, isn't she? She's one of those people that I look at and like, she's beautiful.
She's very pretty. Mm-hmm. But watch her talk next time because she talks out of the side of her mouth.
I'll watch her talk.
She's flawed.
Yeah. It's going to be a good season because the scenes for the rest of what they showed, everything going on.
I certainly hope so.
Yeah, with the racial unrest Catherine being called out for shit. And it's going to be hot.
I just don't want to see Thomas on my screen anymore.
I have a feeling we won't. I don't think he's going to be there often.
How weird is it that she's living with him?
It is weird. I guarantee they're not living together now.
They can't be because he's got another baby and he's engaged.
Oh, that's right. We saw her in the preview say, yeah, he got another girl pregnant. She has some real attraction to him. Or is it just because he can pay her way? Probably that.
He's not attractive.
No.
At all.
Never was.
Mm-mm.
When I first saw him, I thought, ew, why are people thinking he's got this thing about him?
Ugh.
Gross.
Mm-hmm.
Should we move on a little 90 Day the Other Way?
Yeah, let's talk about Binium and Aurelia.
Oh, all right.
Ariella. All right. I keep calling her Aurelia.
Ariella. Okay, I'm going to say something. Ariella warmed my heart this episode. I thought she was actually
with the
halfway decent and halfway normal. There was the circumcision. There was the baptism. All of that. And the way she handled it and the way when his family came over and they were kind of, you know, it was day two and she had a fucking C-section.
Well, no, when she got home from the hospital, they were waiting there with a goat or a lamb.
Yeah, and they slaughtered it in front
of
her.
Right. Oh, my God. I would die. That is not what you want. I mean, I get that it's their tradition or whatever, but you're just getting home. You have a C-section.
So many things going through your body, your head, your hormones, and then you have to deal with that.
Watch a poor.
I really thought she handled it well. I mean, she's kooky, so you never know what she's going to do.
That was a lot. That was a lot.
And I thought she did well. And then when she was kind of pushing back on the baptism, I thought to myself, oh my God, just let him do it because it means nothing to you.
Mm-hmm.
You don't care. You don't believe in it. And it means so much to him and his family. Let him do it.
I agree.
And then she said that. So I was actually really proud of her for that. The circumcision, listen, as a mother of a boy, it's a very difficult. They're in another country. How do they do it? She also is Jewish and they do a brisk. I don't know whether they still really do that or if she would have done that. I don't know.
Well, because I don't think they use any kind of anesthesia or any. Well, no. Maybe now they do.
I don't think they do, Gina.
Well,
yeah.
I'm glad I have girls. I didn't have to make that decision.
I'm just kind of proud of her because I wasn't sure about her having this baby. She wasn't sure about herself having this baby. I think she thought it was a doll.
I think, the way that she made Binyam carry the baby home, not to go in the car without the car seat.
Oh, my God. Now, that was ridiculous. Yeah. First off, a mom who is like, you take the baby. Oh, my God.
No freaking way.
No, I'd be like, no, I'm taking the baby. And to walk in those streets and Binyam with the cover over it and the the driver, who's their friend, was saying, oh my God, you're making him and letting him walk home with that baby through these streets?
Yeah. Well, he said it was more dangerous to walk home than, and I don't know why.
And even the car seat, come on, just, you can hold the baby for two blocks, three blocks in the car.
Yeah.
That's what they used to do.
Well, and there's so much traffic there. They go so slow. It's not like they're getting on a freeway.
No.
I think I would have just let him sit in the back seat.
Yeah, that was a little crazy. So Sumit and Jenny.
Oh, this divorce scenario is just getting real old.
I'm confused because the opening scene, they're in bed. She's all proud and happy that Sumit stood up to his parents and said, I love Jenny and I'm going to go through with being with Jenny. Anything I have to do, blah, blah, blah. And then they acted like they had sex for the first time. Have they not had sex before?
No, they've had sex before. Exactly. But it was a real creepy, weird conversation.
Yeah, why? And they were like, she was very awkward. He was weird
about it. Just the visual,
it.
Like, ugh.
It really seemed like that was their first time. But I'm sure it wasn't. And crazy that she went and she bought a ring for him. She wants him to wear this ring. No, Jenny, he's still married. He still has all this shit to go through. And he had this court date. Because the girl was suing him, or the family was suing him and suing the parents and the brother because they knew and all this shit to try to get money out of them. That was awful.
Yeah, that was bad. But that got the ex-wife threw all that out. So that's done.
But he also showed up to court in a hoodie. So I don't know.
Well, it is India.
Yeah, but it seemed a little.
I don't know that there's protocol. Did you see where the courthouse was?
Yeah, that's true. It looked like an outside courthouse.
So they didn't have to pay the money, $500 a month.
Yeah.
And so we'll see. These two are never going to get married. No. This divorce is going to go on forever. He still has to pay $10,000 before the divorce is finalized. And, you know,
I don't know where he's getting that money.
Well, he's a call center rep. He has to.
I don't think he's working now.
So they're living off of her Social Security.
Yeah. And is she getting that? Because she's moving there?
She said she was. That's what she was freaking out about. Yeah. It's like, how are we going to pay $500 a month? We're living off of my Social Security. Is she back in the U.S.? I bet she is.
Oh, you think? Probably. Unless they're married now and she can stay there. Or she, you know, I don't know how long she can stay there.
No.
Because she's not a fiance.
Visa.
Yeah, visitor's
not long.
Visa. Also, $500 a month to pay somebody in their circumstances. I mean, how much was he making at the call center? Not very much.
No.
So that's kind of a ridiculous amount. And I wonder how true that is.
What do you think his name was in the call center?
Sam? John Smith? Kenny and Armando.
This was interesting. So this is the first little controversy that they've had. And it was about Hannah.
What do you think?
You know, it's a tough situation because he's a single dad. Her mom died. I'm sure that there's some making up for the loss that he feels, you know, keeping her happy. And
I also can't imagine when he was living with his parents and his sister and all the kids that he was spoiling Hannah that much, that it was a problem.
Right.
What is he spoiling her with?
Well, I mean, she wanted an ice cream.
And she wanted a broom and a purse. Yeah. And we're at like a flea market.
Right.
Two pesos.
She's walking past all these toys. I mean, it's normal for a kid to say, oh, you know.
Now, the bargaining thing was a little much. Like when she said, do you want to buy me a purse or an ice cream?
That was pretty funny.
But I also think, Kenny, learn the language. It's time.
Yeah, yeah.
Somebody made a point that when he was driving, he should have been listening to the tapes. And I thought it's kind of true.
Or load Duolingo or something on his phone. Yeah. Yeah, he should know a little bit of Spanish, for God's sake.
I'm surprised he
just the
doesn't.
Basics.
Do you think he might? And he's playing with us a little bit.
I mean,
But maybe not. Armando was kind of pissed that he doesn't know the language.
Well, because he's not really trying. And he has Armando there, so he has a translator everywhere he goes. But I'm going to be interested to see how this progresses with the two of them co-parenting.
Mm-hmm.
Armando got real pissed.
Yeah, but I think Kenny, once he explained it to Kenny got it. You know, Kenny was a single dad too.
Yeah.
But it was a different circumstance. He chose to be a single dad. And,
yeah.
You know, Armando's not used to this. Armando was married and she died. So I don't know if this, and since the circumstances are different, he also has one child where Kenny has three
girls and a boy.
Yeah.
Does he have three girls and a boy?
There's twins. They're triplets. Yeah, he has triplets and a boy.
Yeah.
And it's been a long time for Kenny. You know, his kids are older.
Yeah, and it's a little, maybe it was a little different mm-hmm. when he was raising his kids, but you know, Hannah wasn't asking for that much.
By the way, I think they're fine.
Yeah, for sure.
Jehoon and Devin. Once again, this is so hard because we know they're split now, but Devin, when they're going to look at the wedding venues, listen, it is different. It's hour-long marriages. They're very quick.
In and out. Boom.
I don't have a problem with that, by the way. I thought it was kind of great. Like, let's just get through this. They were kind of laughing at her saying, well, I want a first dance with my dad.
Well, I know, but it's a different country. Then go get married in the U.S., the American way, if that's what you want to do.
I still don't see a problem with them living in the U.S. I don't know why he couldn't come here. They have a child together.
Yeah.
So she wanted to live there.
Well, maybe he could find a real job other than just selling broken phones.
Well, and for her to go in there and basically blow up his backstory and be like, well, you know, he was arrested for selling counterfeit phones. And they're like, no, we didn't know.
I know. And then she's telling him to, why don't you just buy the machine, whatever machine, on eBay and fix them yourself. Is there a machine that you buy?
Devin all of a sudden knows about fixing phones.
Exactly.
Why don't you fucking fix the phones, Devin?
Right. It could be a family business. Go buy the machine on eBay. All right.
And also when they're sitting there at the wedding venue and talking about everything, his father is so freaking sweet. And he's like, oh, okay, we can do that. We don't have to have the full package. We don't have to do all these other things.
She's just rude.
She's rude.
She's and rude.
I don't know if it's all an act there because she doesn't smile like hardly at all.
No, she doesn't. Mm-hmm. She said her childhood dreams are destroyed. Well, this is your second child.
I also think she destroyed them herself.
Of course. That's my point. Mm-hmm. Now she's got another boyfriend who looks
similar.
Similar.
He's an
also
actor.
Korean.
Oh, he also has an OnlyFans page now.
Oh, he does?
Mm-hmm. Don't know what's
well,
on
he
it.
He can't be that great of an actor.
Wait a minute. You say that, and what did you send me? Matthew Perry has an OnlyFans page from Friends?
No, I didn't send you that.
Somebody sent me.
It was a cameo.
Oh, it was a cameo.
It was a cameo.
Oh, you're right. I was thinking it was an OnlyFans. OnlyFans.
Yeah. No, no, no. Ooh, he was a hot mess.
Still a cameo. That's weird.
I know. He seems like he should be above that.
Yeah. I guess nobody's above a cameo. Well, Brittany and Yasin, I think we see they're officially over,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, they're done. He's done. She's done. They're done.
She officially got divorced. No.
She was never planning on going back. This Mm-mm. was just a farce, this whole
Although
thing.
I think she's in the car pretending she's going to the airport. Like she's going to go back and they're going to figure this out there. Even though they're fighting and they haven't talked for 2 weeks and she doesn't believe that he's going to change once she's there, but she's going to go fly there and figure it out again. I don't think she's flying there and nothing's happening.
This is just bullshit. Mm-hmm. I'm not buying it.
Let's end with a little Love After Lockup. Now it's on tonight, but we're talking last week's.
Yeah.
You know, not much happens.
No.
Although last week something did happen. That girl, the one we've been waiting to see,
Shonda came. There was an end to that story.
Yeah, we got an explanation with Shonda and Tyrese. So he hasn't talked to her for 3 months. She stopped filming. They finally got a hold of her and she's sitting down. She looks totally different. She's doing really well. She's sober.
She's sober. She's gardening. She's planting, I don't know what, in her lawn?
I don't know. It was a little setup there. But I thought it was hilarious when they said, you know, we know you were talking to other people and other guys when you were in there. Are you talking to any of them? And she's like, no, you know, I'm kind of on my own. And they said, what was it about him? Like, what was the real reason? And she's like, when he showed up in that blue suit that he fucking loved with the blue suede shoes.
Oh, my God.
And then when they kissed, it turned her off.
Well, you could see that.
Oh, you could see her just. Oh, God.
He
get
was
me
fine
out of here.
From a distance when he was sending her money, but in person, no.
And then she calls him and he is just pissed. She goes, I still would like to be your friend. I'm really sorry. He goes, I don't want to be your friend. So I don't think they're going to be friends.
I don't think they're going to be friends. He should burn that blue suit, but I don't think he will.
No.
In fact, I think he said that the next time he has a date or something, he was going to wear
his blue
suit and his blue alligators.
Oh, God, no. Please, no.
So Sean and Destiny, this fake drama with, you know, her and whether or not she went out drinking and stuff with her sister the night before her court date. And is she going to show up? And, you know, he's blowing up her phone and she's not returning his call. Well, of course she shows up 5 minutes before her court appearance.
I think it was about 3 minutes before the court
appearance.
Was it? Yeah, of course.
So we don't know what the outcome is.
No, it'll be...
It'll be fine.
Yeah, because this is for something completely different, too. I don't even know what this is for. It's not even for the thing she was in jail for. It's because when she had an ankle monitor on, she cut it off.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
So this is for that. And now she has other charges, I think, pending.
Ugh, but he's just worried about his $50,000 and whether or not he's going to get that back.
He's going to be fine. Okay, so Christiana and John. Ooh.
Yeah, this one kind of made me sad because I feel like Christiana really needs John.
Well, she needs somebody.
Well, I think John is kind of good for her because he's been through it. He's also keep her on
seems
track.
Sober except for that pen that he constantly has.
Oh, he's got like the vape pen.
Yeah.
But now he's got her mother who is the spitting image of Christiana is the spitting image of
Her mother. Of her mother. Do you need some of Christiana's mom's oxygen?
Maybe. And then the sister. So the mom was living above a meth house.
Oh, God. That the sister lived in.
The sister was on meth, too.
Yeah.
This whole family is just a disaster.
The sister doesn't seem like she's high at this moment.
Not at this moment, but she definitely has an issue.
This town that Christiana is in and that the halfway house is in. Now, John lives outside of that town, I think a couple hours.
Yeah.
The mom and the sister are like, you know, she's high. She's getting back into it. There's no doubt she is doing that. That's what happens every time. People in the halfway house are high.
I know. So, and that was concerning to me because you take these people who've had drug problems, you make them go live in a halfway house, and then there's all kinds of drugs in the halfway house. Well, how are you going to rehabilitate yourself if you're surrounded by people that are using drugs?
Well, you hit the nail on the head. That's exactly what's happening. And that's what happens a lot of places, too. It's very sad.
It is sad. What state are they in? Kentucky?
I'm not sure.
Somewhere, whatever the town is where this halfway house is.
She's in Dubuque, Iowa?
Iowa? It sounds like a horrible town.
It sounds, and he went to find her, and he found her. She admitted she was high, and she, you know, she went off the wagon, and she seems like she wants to be sober very bad, but she doesn't know how to do it. These people need to go into drug treatment facilities, not halfway houses. They need real help.
Right.
Now, what's going to happen to her? He picked her up. Does he have to bring her back to that halfway house?
No, they were talking about just
she has to turn herself in.
Going out of state.
But they can't.
Gina, he said they were going to Bonnie and Clyde. They were going to go to Mexico. Just them in the truck.
Where's mama and sister going to do?
Live
in his luxurious house.
They're on their own. I wish he would lose those braids. I mean, I get he's in touch with his Native American side, but
no,
they're not
going anywhere.
They're not cute.
Well, they're also not going anywhere.
True.
And then Hot Dylan and Heather, we didn't see much of them.
Heather and the Hot Felon.
Other than they went back to Aunt Diane's. He talked to the parole officer. The parole officer was not happy with him.
No, but you know, Heather's got some issues.
Did you see the previews? The previews are
in the car again. They're in the car and she's driving like a maniac. And he's like, stop the car.
I gotta get back to Aunt Diane's.
And she's just like zoned out, driving like a crazy person on
she's
the freeway.
Definitely on something.
She has to be.
And he's so calm. You know,
he doesn't want to go back to jail. No. He just wants to go live his life
without her.
He knows this is not going to work out.
Something happens next week, though, and he has it. But where does he parole to? He paroles to Aunt Diane's.
See, that was a mistake.
Yeah, but it sounds, does he not have anybody else?
He's maybe not.
Clearly following through with his commitment to her with all the time. I think he was gone, 5 years? And she stuck by him that whole time. That's where I think he's like a good guy trying to do a right thing.
Well, yeah, but a lot of these people that get out of prison and then they finally hook up with whoever has been supporting them, they do have a feeling of guilt, like they have to be with that person. Because we've seen it, you know, several times.
Yeah.
Like that person was there for me. I have to do this. They don't necessarily want to.
No, but sometimes they don't have anywhere else to go either.
Yeah, that's true.
So Lindsay and Scott, she's so pissed at Scott for thinking that, you know, she copied that thing out of the book, Gina. It wasn't her thoughts. She's going to turn around on him and make it all his fault for going through her shit.
It was 100% her thoughts.
Of course.
And why the hell did he even tell her that he read it? Why didn't he just keep it to himself, kind of scope out and see what's going on, not do something stupid like give her money or buy her anything else, and just see? I mean, it's going to show.
Yeah. because he's hurt when he saw it. He was hurt. He was a little butt hurt and sad.
She's very street smart, and she's...
She's a sneaky
very
one.
Sneaky, and I would not trust her at all.
She called her parole officer to see if she can change the address to her mom. Her poor mom. She calls the mom, can I live with you? And the mom's like, why?
Do you have to?
Isn't Scott taking you and your daughter?
That poor daughter. That's the one I feel bad for.
So she also said she was all pissed off that the daughter wasn't with her, and she was blaming Scott. And it's not Scott's fault. It's COVID's fault. And they were just waiting 2 weeks. It wasn't that long. And she's like, my child has always been with me. And I thought, no, bitch.
Yeah, you've been in jail
for years doing what you want to do. And you're blaming Scott because your child's not there right now.
Was it her mom or her grandmother that was taking care of her
daughter?
I thought
it was the grandma.
I did too.
But why would the grandma be taking care of?
I don't know. Well, maybe the mom is like, nope, I'm not involved.
I thought the same thing. I thought it was the grandma that was taking care of her daughter. And then, but she called her mom to see if she could parole to her mom's house.
Yeah.
Or maybe she calls her grandma her mom.
Sometimes yeah, maybe. They do that. Maybe not something sure. happened.
And then Maurice and Jessica. I kind of like these two together.
Do you?
Well, I think he's a stand-up guy. I think he's trying to do the right thing. He's hanging out with her dad. The dad has shown him how to weld, given him a job. That did not go
that
so well.
That was just a comical.
Of course. And then he lets it slip that Jessica's pregnant, and he wasn't supposed to tell the dad. Then the dad gave him money for a proper engagement ring.
$1,000.
Yeah.
And he said it was a test.
Yeah. The dad said it's a test.
He didn't tell Maurice that, but he's... told the cameras it's a test.
It's a test to see if he'll get the money back or if he'll
how he's going to spend it.
Yeah. Then, you know, Maurice tells the camera, man, I could take that to the casino and that $1,000 could become $10,000.
Or zero.
He's not going to go to the casino.
I don't think so either. But I certainly would like to know where he gets the money for those Gucci shirts because he doesn't work.
You think those are real Gucci shirts?
Well, they could be counterfeit.
They sell them at the flea market.
Do they?
Well, when I used to go to the flea market, they had all that kind of stuff. Oh.
And maybe that's where he got
way
it.
Back when.
I think that's it. We're done.
So.
We had so much. And next week we'll have so much more.
I know. We had Justin on from Justin Takes the Batch.
He was so good. He was so fun.
He's such a nice guy. So, you know, check him out. He's got a good podcast.
Yeah,
just,
he does.
Just Bachelor related. Oh, we have merch. We have shirts.
Oh, right. We're wearing them.
We're wearing our new shirts. We put a picture on our Instagram page, and I put it in the highlights so you can see that. I'm going to post another picture just so you guys can see. If you are interested in purchasing, feel free. I'm excited
about
it.
New design.
Yeah, new design.
Yeah.
Thanks to Gina's brother. Shout out. And yeah, give us a give us a review on an Apple Podcast. Not that much, actually. That's sad. That's it.
Enjoy your weekend.
That's all I got. Have a good weekend. Bye.
Bye. There is nothing like a dame. Nothing.